welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me is Grumpy, Grumpy Marty. How are we doing, Grumpy Marty?
Oh, I put my headset on hoping I didn't have to hear you, but it's even louder through my headset.
Sucker.
No, I'm okay.
You should be excited. We got a trip coming up.
Yeah, see, I don't get excited about things, so I really
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't waste my time.
That's why everybody says you sound like Joe Rogan, because you get unexcitable.
I really am. I don't get wound up to go on trips.
Then I'm just wound up to get the hell out of the state. What are you talking about?
See, I don't care about that either. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And then when I go there, I'm like, okay, yeah, we're doing stuff. That's cool. And then I go back home. I'm like, okay, well, I'm back home. I don't get too wound up about
it. Well, yeah, we're going to Vegas, so maybe we'll get some charges on us from, like, Area 51. Because we are doing the tour. We're going on to that. The wife's like, you want to do that? That's like a 10-hour tour. And I'm like, hey, maybe it'll be like the SS manual and get lost.
Right. It fills a day, basically, of shit. Yeah. So it's bizarre.
Get to hang out with some other weirdos that like that stuff. So if you're one of the weirdos that listen to us in Vegas, hit us up on Instagram and let us know, and we'll try and meet up with you. If not, we're not. We'll just drink a beer or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
We got an interview lined up that week, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I got to contact the general and get that lined up.
Yeah, they'll say, what the hell are you talking about?
We're working on our vacation.
That's right.
We work all the time.
That is correct.
That's why we only put out one episode a week.
right. No, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The weather here is weird, like normal.
Yeah, no, it's a little weird. Just been...
But not as weird as Idaho. Do you hear about Idaho Republican Heather Scott introduced a bill that would add text to Idaho's established cannibalism law?
Oh.
I didn't know they had a cannibalism law in Idaho.
That's Idaho.
I didn't know Idaho actually existed. A bill was introduced in the House State Affairs Committee on Thursday, February 8th, which aims to add language to Idaho's cannibalism law, which already outlaws any person who willfully ingests the flesh or blood of a human being. Common sense. House Bill 522 titled Cannibalism. How in the hell do you push that through a thing?
Cannibalism,
like,
and introspective.
No, it's like a house bill. What do you call it? Cannibalism. Jesus. Was written and introduced by Republican Representative Heather Scott. The bill, I already just read that. Yeah, that's already said that. Back in all the stuff, they repeated the same article twice, that paragraph twice. Back in the late 1980s, there was a scare about satanic rituals and investigations nicknamed the Satanic Panic. In the 1990s, cannibalism in Idaho was outlawed with the passing of the bill entitled Mayhem. First, she said, in 2019, I heard that Washington State was starting to do human composting, and that disturbed me. That disturbed a lot of people. I wanted to address this because what I didn't want to see was bags of compost with human bone fragments. Human composting is permitted practice in several states, including Washington, but remains are not bagged. A quick Google search shows that there's been spread in forests outside Battleground, Washington, to help recover the area from logging, according to Repose Life website. Representative Scott said she wanted to stop human composting from getting into the food supply. Okay, we're about to get on that subject when we're done here.
Yeah.
Recompost Life's website states that human compost is spread around in several spots to support plant life, but is not used for food production. Representative Scott's reasoning for the bill is due to the video she saw posted on social media a month ago about a food show that said that secret ingredient was human flesh. But it was revealed to the food contestant that this was part of a prank show by David Spade called Fameless.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, all the food we eat is from compost, not human, animal. It happened.
Right.
There's nothing we eat where it doesn't, if you break it down, it has human DNA in it.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad as Soylent Green.
Or as tasty. But
Long pork.
It's not how it works.
What do you mean? We just throw bodies haphazardly. I think you probably watched that 2010 thing about that funeral home down south where they said bodies laying out. Well, that's a little different.
I don't know if she's thinking, you know, that the plants then pull up all their DNA from the bodies they're composting and somehow transfer it to. I don't know what she's thinking there.
I don't know.
It's just kind of fucking asinine. It's just...
Yeah, we're going to start.
If that's the case, then no vegan is actually vegan, if that's how that works.
Yeah, there's never been a vegan.
You know, if that's how it works, is that DNA in the meat then comes up into the plant because that's what it's taking. That's not how that works.
No.
Just takes what it needs nutrient-wise into the dirt.
Yep. That's all it does. But at least it's not like them crazy people that actually you can take your body, put it in a bag.
Oh, yeah.
With a tree.
Yeah.
That's how you get a haunted forest. I don't fucking care what anybody says. Right. I don't believe in ghosts, but that's how you get a forest that's got some really bad attitude.
Yeah, it seems not good.
Here they're just kind of spreading it around so varmints can eat you.
Right. If the hippies want to do that, have fun in your haunted forest in, 100 years. But
I think it would take less than that. Just think of the saplings, you probably reach up and poke your eyeballs out.
That'd be Evil Dead trees. That's where they came from.
That's where they got the idea for this whole tree composting thing for human bodies. Evil Dead.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was pretty violent, what that tree did to that girl. That was pretty violent. You can't really say that out here.
Right. Yeah, it's goddamn people.
So I heard you went and saw Dune. How was that for you? Dune Part 2.
It's so good. It's really, really pretty. It's altogether, it's both parts. It's a long movie. It's like five and a half hours if you're going to sit through all of it. But yeah, Part 2 is almost 3 hours on its own. Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, it's shot beautifully. Everything is done really, really well. And yeah, it's just, you got to see it in theaters just for how loud it is. And just
how loud it is.
Oh, it's loud. Like ships and shit. You're like, oh my
God.
It's
like the Mars. What's that Mars one with, what's his butt in it? Return to Mars or something where they go to Mars and it's got an alien on the face. Yeah, I'll think of it later.
It'll come. I'm not sure.
That's supposed to be really loud.
it's really good, though. It is really, really good.
Yeah,
it's absolutely gorgeous. Both of them together, probably the prettiest sci-fi epic ever made.
You probably pissed off a lot of Star Wars people there.
Yeah, there's no
comparison.
Pretending that's a beautiful sci-fi epic. Fantastic sci-fi movie. But yeah, it whole different level of what Dune actually is. Denny, I don't know how he does it, but the movies he touches, he knows how to make epic, good-looking sci-fi. Blade Runner 2049,
yep.
Dune 1 and 2, and then Messiah, which sounds like it's going to be like a 2 to 3 year wait before we actually get book 2, which is Messiah of Dune.
Because then they can cast different characters.
Which I suppose works. And there again, Paul is older. All the characters are older in Messiah. I'm really psyched. And I was like, well, it depends on how well this does. Are you shitting me? Come on. It's already made just millions.
One bad thing about this I've heard about Dune Part 2 is that they're not getting a director's cut. He said no.
Yeah.
Already.
I'm okay with it. Like I said, there are things that have changed. If a movie doesn't need a director's cut, it shouldn't put one out, in my opinion. The original 84 Dune... I prefer the director's cut that they eventually put out.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, shit. It's such a better movie with it. But it's like 4+ hours at that point once they
I agree, because if you look at Abyss, another good movie, the director cut's 20 times better.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense.
There are other movies that they're like, oh, here's a director's cut of it, and you don't need to do this. This is already a really good movie. We don't need to do director's cut.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking gorgeous. Just no way around it. It's not going to win at least some kind of cinematography thing for some awards.
Worst movie ever. It's going to get a Razzie.
It's just so fucking pretty. Everything in it is just absolutely beautiful.
Was it?
Ridiculous, but beautiful.
And Fade is... Don't ruin it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no. It's Austin Butler is Fade. I wasn't really sure the early pictures of him. I was like, meh. But yeah, the whole they do a whole chunk of stuff on Giddy Prime. And it's just fucking unnerving and creepy. And he does fantastic as Fade. It's just unbelievably good. Just everything about it was so goddamn good. But yeah, it's long. It is really long.
Well, nowadays with the price of the movie, you better get a long movie. Because they give you
right.
For if I'm paying $15 to go see a movie, it better be at least 2 hours long.
Right. Well, I'm thinking like back in the day where it was like 60s, 50s. They had a movie that was actually 2 hours. They would put like an intermission built into the movie. So you get up. Now it's like, no, fuck you, sit down. Yeah. It's 3 hours. You can pee whenever you feel like. You're going to sit through this whole thing.
You're going to miss the important part, you think.
Well, partway through, I did have to actually kind of start peeing. I'm like,
you just kind of started peeing.
I felt like I was like, maybe I got to pee. And I'm like, I don't care. I already kind of know where I'm at in this. I'm not missing a second of this. It can wait. If I have to, I'll pee in that Powerade bottle. It'll be fine. Oh, God. Or the old guy next to me deal with it.
Just leave it for the next person. All right. Hey, they got warm Gatorade.
Someone didn't drink all this lemon lime.
That's disgusting.
This tastes familiar.
I wanted. Oh wait. How does that taste familiar? I don't want. Don't
to the even, next don't. Lady who picks it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not right in the head.
No. But yeah, it's really fun. There's a lot of movies this month, and it's kind of pissing me off.
You got the three body. See, tonight, folks, we're going to talk about a movie. It's going to be a movie night for us. Right. We're just going to do something different because we got some dark shit coming up, and we just want to get some levity out there before we bring up all the really dark shit we're going to talk about in the next couple weeks. No, because I know Three Body Problem is coming out on Netflix. I want to see that. Yeah. Then he got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Yeah. Then some movie with a monkey and a lizard.
I don't know. Like a new Lorax movie or something. Yeah, I don't Lorax, know. Some Dr. Seuss.
Return to Lorax.
Yeah, no.
We're definitely seeing that before going on a trip.
I got to see Afterlife. Or not Afterlife, but Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
It looks really good. But yeah, it'll be. Like I said, yeah, there is a bunch of them this month. It's just like, fuck.
Right at perfect time when we want to go on vacation, all the good movies come out.
Right. I think there's some other ones, too, I actually kind of want to see, but I don't need to see in theaters either. So I'm like, meh, I can wait on that. But,
well, it'll be good. Since we're on movies, we're talking about movies a lot, I actually hunted down some movies that are actually based on actual events. These are mostly horror movies. You ever notice that?
Right, yeah.
Most actual.
Well, there are a lot of, like, dramas.
They're boring.
Based off real stories. Aaron Brockovich, things like that. Yeah, there are a lot of those I've seen once, and I'm like, oh, okay, I saw that. I don't need to watch it again. Well, I'm good.
Yeah, the first on my list is The Hills Have Eyes, the 1977, and the 2006 one where I got kicked out of a movie theater for laughing at the beginning.
No, did you?
Oh, yeah, in Watertown here, in the movie theater?
Yeah.
There was like 10 people in there. I'm sitting in the back, watching the 2006. The first scene is this guy comes out. He's a scientist checking out this radiator, and he gets pickaxed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm laughing my ass off for some odd reason. I found that funny.
It was pretty
Then they're like, come in, you need to leave. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, I think Mike and I went to that, actually Easter Sunday. We went to it. It's Hills Have Eyes, a remake. And then actually a guy I went to school with has been in Wes Craven's production team. He's been with them for years. And that was, like, I think the first film he actually had his name in end credits. So we're like, oh, we got to go see it just because Cody's got his name on there. And, yeah, it was loads of fun. I love that movie. It's so much fun. But yeah, we went and watched Easter and then went over to family's house afterwards to have supper.
But the whole movie is based on the inbred bean family from Scotland in the 17th century.
Yeah.
There's, like, 49 people, this guy and his wife and their daughter and their sons. He would catch people, kill them, you'd cannibalize them.
Yep.
Interesting thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you get cannibalism there, Mr. Representative.
Yeah. Jesus. That one's still just...
There's some of the movies on here I knew already at the time, but some I did not know.
Right.
Like Session 9 from 2001.
It was
based on events that happened, taking place at Danvers Hospital in Massachusetts, which is considered to be one of the most haunted places in the U.S.
I did not know that was inspired by that stuff. That's a great movie. Really good psychological movie. Really good. Really good. I think I ended up catching that. I don't know where the hell it was on. I was like, this seems interesting.
It's on Netflix quite a bit, I think.
This was even before. I saw it like early on when it was new. I was like, holy shit, this movie's actually really good. I've never heard of this before.
There's a few on this list where it's mostly like, where it is like most of your paranormal movies say they're based on events. And a lot of them are, but some aren't.
Yeah.
But I got one on this list I think you may find. Inspired by.
Which means, hey, we made all this up.
The Blob, 1958, based on the eyewitness reports from two cops that saw a gelatinous mass of lavender color goo moving in a field.
Yeah. Which is unnerving on its own. I mean, the idea of the blob, even as a kid, was freaky. And then the 88 one came out, which I actually adore. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole idea of it's really creepy. That one I had heard, yeah, was based off of them citing weird shit. Something like that. Yeah. Just, ugh.
No. How would you say it? Well, it's 1958.
Right.
I think most men during that time would probably say, hey, I saw this lavender. How many of you even know what the fuck color lavender is? Right. At that time. Purple. Yep, but yeah, they state lavender. So I think a little one was a little untouched with the other side. Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Loosely based on Ed Gein, the bad guy. He shows up quite a bit on this list.
Yeah. Well, he did some weird shit, so.
What do you mean? What is weird? He did home decoupage. Right. He was into leather work, all because he borrowed somebody's face to make a lampshade.
Right. What's wrong with nipple wallets? What's wrong with that? Like, Jesus.
Scream, 1996, based on the Danny Rowling murders, where he murdered five students in Florida in a 3 nights of terror.
Yeah.
That's one I did not know. I thought that was complete bullshit.
Kevin Williamson actually was living down around that area when he was writing Scream, and he used a lot of that, just the panic around the college at the time. There were a lot of people who just like straight up just said, fuck it, and left school to kind of get kind of that feeling of terror and paranoia in a school in a small town setting. I guess he actually... It creeped him out because he ended up watching a special on the Gainesville Ripper is what he was called.
Okay.
He said for weeks afterward he had trouble sleeping because he kept having nightmares that somebody had a knife and was waiting outside his house. and then he helped kind of get that out of his system by putting it into the script for Scream for Wes Craven.
Nice. So I didn't know that.
Yep.
Then you have The Fourth Kind from 2009. It's based on the disappearance of 10 people from the town of Nome, Alaska. This movie here, I want to say inspired. It's not based. I want to say it was inspired by all the missing people in Alaska.
Yeah.
The whole UFO thing, my bullshit meter is going kind of up on this whole thing there.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing I love about that movie is a lot of it ends up being very understated. You're expecting, like, this big reveal of stuff, and there really fucking isn't in the movie.
No.
It's just a lot of feeling and ideas, and I really dig that movie. First time I watched it, I was kind of disappointed, because I'm like, oh, I'm wanting this big explosive. But no, when you really sit and think about it, like everything that goes on in that movie is actually far more depressing than you know, a big reveal of, oh, aliens took our baby. I really love that movie. That's actually a really fantastic film.
Then you have The Conjuring 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
But the really interesting, Conjuring 3 culminates, finishes in the first court use in which the defense of demonic possession is used. And that's actual in the court books.
Yeah. Yep. That was...
Oh, good Lord. I was possessed by a demon. Yep. Yep. He made me do it.
That was... that was the excuse they used. They're like, no, that's... He had no control over what he was doing. He was... out of his faculties, there were spirits that had taken him over, unbelievably, and it went through, you know.
Kind of like a court case today in town here, we're going to talk about later. Yeah.
Now, everything in the Conjuring universe is loosely based off of real stories of something that apparently has happened.
With Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, I love a lot of the Conjuring stuff. I really do like it. There are some of them that have been kind of, it does have, I love the actors who play Ed and Lorraine. They're both fantastic.
Oh yes, they are.
We've talked about some of the Ed and Lorraine stuff.
Yeah.
before on shows of,
Psycho 1960 again. Oh, Ed Gein.
Yep.
That really gets a whole mommy and mother and all that stuff. Here's an interesting one. Deliver Us from Evil, 2014.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the real-life events of Ralph Sarchi about his investigations with the priest into demonic possessions related to crime.
Really? I did not know that. I've seen that movie. Yeah.
There's a book on it. There's actually a book by that Ralph Sarchi. Yep. And he talks about that.
Interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Entity, 1982.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the Doris Bither case, where she is abused by spirits till she becomes pregnant. Her children and neighbors witness these spirits also.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues around that case. There's still a lot of questions of whether it was real or... Because she was a known alcoholic for years. Some drug abuse. There have been a lot of things that have been brought up around it. But nobody's also really been able to fully debunk the stuff that she was saying was happening. Mm-hmm. I know she wasn't super happy that they were doing the movie on it.
Probably didn't get paid enough.
Yeah. It's a cool case. Yeah, like, I remember seeing The Entity and didn't realize it was based on a real case till years later. I was like, oh, this sounds kind of like The Entity. Oh, that's why. They took it, changed names, changed a few things in it, and that's pretty much what The Entity was.
Here's a really traumatic one from my past. Play, 1988, based on accounts from interactions with Robert the Doll.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I say we go to Florida and go poke Robert.
Damn you, Robert.
Hey, we share the same name. I can poke
him. Right.
I get a pass card.
We're like brothers, buddy.
Regression, 2015, is a mix of different tales of satanic ritual stories from the 80s during the satanic panic. It shows the ritualized abuse of women and infanticide. Hermione's in it.
Really? I don't think I've seen
it. Yeah, it's fairly new. Then you have Strangers, fucked up movie from 2008.
Yep.
It's based on that's where these people go in the house. It's based on the Keddy Cabin murders of 1981.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I looked it up and I'm like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. See, I did not like The Strangers.
I did. I loved it.
I just kind of went, meh. Yeah. This is what it is. It's good. It's not great. But I don't need to see it again. I saw it once. I just went, I'm fine.
I watch it to traumatize people.
Yeah, that's true, dude. Yeah, I know a lot of people really love that movie. But
The Keddy murders are an unsolved quadruple homicide that occurred over a night on April 11th through the 12th in 1981, Keddy, California, United States. The victims were Glenna, Susan, Sue Sharp, her daughter, Tina Louise Sharp, her son, Stephen J. Sharp, and John's friend, Dana L. Hall Wingate. The murders took place in house number 28 of the Keddy Resort. The bodies of the Wingates, Sue and John Sharp, were found on the morning of April 12th by Sue's 14-year-old daughter, Sheila, who had been sleeping at a friend's house. Sue's two younger sons, Rick and Greg, as well as her friend, Justin Smart, were also in the house but were unharmed. Tina was missing from the scene. Tina's remains... remained a missing person until April 1984 when her skull and several other bones were recovered at Camp 18, California, near Feather Falls in Butt County. Multiple leads and suspects were examined in the intervening years, but no charges were ever filed. Ugh. Yeesh. Yeah, it's just, that was back in the, definitely during the satanic panic there.
That'd be early.
I think you had more serial killers during the 80s because people were crazier. They had coke, more coke was easier to get. And right. Can mix with a little bit of volume. Be like a crazy tired person.
Yeah, right.
Poltergeist, 1982 and the 2015, based on the cases of from 1958 and the experiences of the Herman family in Long Island, New York. Didn't know that. Got nothing?
I got nothing. Everybody knows I love that.
Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. This is the first horror movie. Well, actually, I can always say I've probably said this 10 times. Excuse me. This is a movie I saw at a church lock-in first time on VHS. I would like to know who the adults were in charge. I was like 16 at the time.
Jesus.
And they're like, well, we have Labyrinth with David Bowie, Nightmare on Elm Street, and some sports fucking one, like Dream Quest.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, did anybody know what RPG and that means in this?
No, they didn't really care.
And everybody's like, we'll take Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm like, this is a church.
We're watching this. I remember my friends watching RoboCop in their church, and they're
as Elm Street. That has
it's far more violent than Elm Street. RoboCop's pretty. It almost got an X rating. It was so bloody and violent. Yeah. It's like, why is this being in a? Why do they even have this in your church? mean, that's pretty cool. I like RoboCop, but...
But Nightmare on Elm Street from 84, it was inspired by a Cambodian case where a little boy refused to sleep, and when he fell asleep, he started screaming, and he died in his sleep.
Yes, and not only that, but there was actually a string of these that were happening in that area. It was multiple people started having these. They were afraid to go to sleep. They just, for various reasons, and most of them involved that there was monsters that were going to kill them. That story came up. Wes Craven had seen that, and it was just kind of an idea that had rattled around in his head for a few years until it kind of all clicked into place to give us the pedophile Freddy Krueger, who invaded dreams.
Yeah. Such a good movie. Then Veronica, 2017, it's a Spanish film.
Yep.
Based on a 1990s occurrence of a teenage girl dying after using a Ouija board.
Yep.
I want to say your friend's poisoned her.
Yeah, there is something with that. Honestly, not a great movie.
No, it's not.
I watched it. It's another one of those that they were like, oh, Netflix claims this is the scariest movie they've gone because people don't always watch it all the way through. It's like, well, a lot of those movies they shut off because it sucks. Yeah. I hate to tell you, it's kind of boring and not really all that great. I sat through the whole thing, but I was like, eh.
See, you and me take it as a personal affront. We take it as a challenge if it's the scariest movie we've ever seen. We've grown up in some really fucked up shit.
Right.
Because if we listen, Rawhead Rex, how did that ever even get made? Has anybody seen Clary Barker's Rawhead Rex? Right. I feel sorry for you.
Right. It's
or what about good. The movie Extro? Holy crap. How did that even get made?
Do you know how hard it is to find the first Extro to watch?
It's extremely hard because it should be like fucking X-rated.
Good God. Extra 3 you find thrown everywhere because nobody gives a shit. Trying to watch Extra, because I haven't seen the first Extra probably since
I saw the first one when 90s. I was like 10 years old. At my
it was
aunt's.
On HBO and shit all the time.
No, they had the VHS. My aunt and uncle rented it because I was going to babysit my little cousin.
Oh, shit.
And she's like, here, just watch this movie. We got you this. It has that racy title, but there's nothing racy in it. They definitely
aliens.
Did not watch this movie before they let me watch it.
It is extremely
violent.
You
get violent. That creepy-ass midget in there with the guillotine yo-yo, and they're sucking
it's
on
crazy.
Gas.
It's such a crazy fucking movie. But yeah, I need to see that again so bad. I haven't watched it probably since 90.
You ain't missing much.
No, it's fantastic.
It just messes with your brain. Especially when you're 10 years old. It just messes with you.
Just such a seriously, it's a movie where you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
That comes more like, what the fuck is going on? Because it just gradually gets worse.
It just goes more and more and more. And you're just like, holy Jesus.
We have Wolf Creek from 2005, based on the Australian murderer Bradley John Murdoch.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. I own the DVD of it.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I remember renting that when it first came out. I was like, oh, this looks really cool. And he's like, oh, it was based off of the real killer. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Jesus, this is messed up. Good movie. It's really fun.
Then you have Blackwater, 2007, based on different crocodile attacks in Australia.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that Razorback was on here, this list. Because it's a giant razorback pig from Australia. Yeah. Then I could go to the trifecta with Australia. Razorback. Yes, come back.
That's another movie I've been trying to find, and it's really hard to find. Just
find that on Tubi.
No.
Oh, where the hell did I see it then?
No. I have looked all over to try to find that without paying
a shit
ton.
Actually, it's on YouTube. If you go on YouTube, you can watch on your phone.
I suppose, yeah.
But Razorback is one of the movies that really messes with you. It's like giant
it's really
pig
good
killing
movie.
People.
That could be really good.
Serpent and the Rainbow from 1988, based on events depicted in the book by Dr. Wade Davis and his studies on the voodoo practices.
Yeah, because that was another Wes Craven movie, actually.
Yep.
First time I watched that, I was really disappointed in it.
You got to watch it like two or three times
expecting a Wes Craven movie, and it's not. It's actually really slow-paced, a lot of talking and a lot more psychological stuff. Watching it a second time, I was like, okay, I know what I'm getting into. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a whole lot better movie at this point. Now that I know this is more of a based on actual voodoo practice, not, mystical voodoo practice. But, yeah, really good movie. Once I enjoyed it the second time, I was like, okay, this is a great movie.
Yeah. Open Water 2003 is actually based on actual events of two divers left on the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah, that suck.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so did the movie.
Yeah. Because how would you, do you think they would try to swim? How would you know, actually, what way would you know how to swim in the Barrier Reef? Because you don't see land, so you don't really have
an orientation. Well, for me, that movie is just so boring because it's not really doing anything. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, they're gone. Oh, okay.
Never seen it.
It's just really not good. Just not good. I did not enjoy
it. Hey, we can't all have good movies.
It's true.
On this list. We can't. American Honey, 2005. First murder on record in U.S. history where a spirit was convicted of the crime.
Yes. This is early America. Interesting. I think Donald Sutherland, I think, is in that. He plays like the father of this religious family, and crazy shit starts going on. And yeah, they end up blaming these evil spirits for all this bad stuff that happens. Again, it's an interesting movie, a little slower paced, but
yeah,
it was really good.
It's like the one with the goat that stands up on its hind legs, or is that the goat?
No, that's the witch.
Oh, that's probably based on actual events too.
I love the witch. God, that movie with Black Thomas.
Black Thomas.
I love that. I'm actually gonna have to watch it again. That and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 1974 and 2003. Again, Ed Gein.
Yeah,
this is the one I knew instantly. This was about Ed Gein. I didn't think Silence of the Lamb was.
Yeah,
until I read up more, and I'm like, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I knew instantly who it was about.
Ed Gein. Yeah, yeah.
Dead Ringers, 1988, inspired by a story of two twins found dead in their apartment.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I did not know.
Inspired
that was,
by right. Marty. Inspired.
Well, even still, I didn't even realize that was. I think that's a Cronenberg film.
It's a Cronenberg film.
Yeah, because I remember watching that one, too, when it came out. I went, it's kind of boring, but kind of good. I had no idea that was interesting.
The Silent House, 2010, a Uruguayan film, based on the story of two men found in a barn and with their tongues removed.
Oh. Oh, interesting. Silent House. I'm going to have to look that up.
The Shining, 1980, awesome movie, based on numerous events that have taken place at the Stanley Hotel, Estes Park, Colorado.
Yep. Yeah, now that's actually what inspired Stephen King to write the original story, was staying in there and just having weird incidents occurring there and just kind of extrapolated from there.
The Quiet Ones, 2014, based on the Philip experiments in 1972 in Toronto. The Philip experiments were conducted to determine if subjects can communicate with ghosts through human will.
Yeah.
I thought that was the one where they made tulpas. Isn't that the same one?
I don't remember. I remember watching Quiet Ones. I remember I liked it, but I don't remember a whole lot of it.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it.
I see so many movies. A lot of them just kind of blend at a certain point.
Here's one for you that I know you haven't, because I talked about it before we talked. We talked about it before we talked. We used my telepathy there. We communicated with Will. The name of this movie has two names. First one is There's a Secret in My Soup or Human Pork Chop from 2001. A Chinese film based on the Hello Kitty murders that took place in Hong Kong in 1999. Just so the story is, a nightclub hostess was abducted and murdered in an apartment after stealing a wallet owned by one of her frequent customers. Fan Mayi was held captive by three men and one girl before dying between April 14th and 16th. Her body was decapitated and her skull was placed inside a Hello Kitty mermaid plushie.
Oh. I thought, like a backpack. No, just right inside
a plushie.
Sanrio was not happy that their product was used in that way.
I bet not.
Oh, no.
Wolves at the Door, 2016, based on the Sharon Tate murder by the Manson family cult.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of movies with Manson in it.
Well, even Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is basically an alternate reality world of the Sharon Tate murders, only they stop them. Which is just loads of fun.
Here's another. Here's a Japanese one for you. Cold Fish, 2010. Based on the exploit of two Tokyo serial killers, Ken Jen and Hiroko Kazuma, a husband and wife who owned a pet shop and killed at least four people.
Oh, damn. Damn.
Yeah. Japan, it's hard to get away with murdering people.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of that over there.
But when you do, when it's pretty weird.
Well, say, I wish I had thought of looking him up. But yeah, there was a serial killer from, I think, the 70s in Japan. And this dude, like, even... the guy is just physically bizarre. Like, his fingers are too long, and they're almost, like, spidery. And the guy is just unhinged. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he ended up killing just a whole pile of people. And just pictures of him, you're just like, oh, of course he did. Good Lord, look at him. His hands are weird and freaky. Yeesh, yeesh.
Here's one from 1986. The killer is still among us. The Italian film based on the Italian serial killer known as the Monster of Florence.
Oh.
It's a really slow movie. I've watched it. And you have to read subtitles. It's really... It's psychological, but they don't ever find that guy either.
Yeah.
See, I like the movies that are actually based on events. Because, like, you ever seen The Killing Field? It's like a TV on Netflix. It actually did the movie.
Yep.
I'm not talking about in China. I'm talking about in Texas.
Yep. The Texas Killing Field.
And that guy is still out there. It's like the I-19 killer or I-10 killer. Yep. And they're pretty sure these guys are truck drivers.
Yeah. I mean,
nothing against truck drivers that listen to us. We don't need
you. It would make sense. You know, easiest way in and out of there constantly, not going to be somebody that's always there to be able to. So
that's the kind of movies I like, horror movies. Like, if I know it's based on an actual event, it better end like the real life. Because the guy gets caught, he gets caught. But if he doesn't, he doesn't get caught.
Right. Well, even like The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Yeah.
Based off of these killings down in, I think it was Texas or Arkansas.
Texarkana, I think.
Yeah, it was Texarkana. But yeah, no, it's
I drove through that town on my way to base on Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
I might have driven through that town.
But yeah, no, there were murders going on, people getting shot after dark, and it left this town in fear for months and months and months, and they just stopped.
Yeah.
No one ever knew who did it. Never found out since. Who was responsible for this? It just stopped.
Yep.
Like, well, what the hell?
He must have killed who he wanted to kill.
Right. He finally got to the ones he needed.
Now, this is the last one on my list. I hope this is true. I don't think it is.
Oh, sad.
I really don't. It's called The Untold from 2002. Otherwise, that's the French title.
Oh, okay.
The American title is Sasquatch.
Oh.
This movie is allegedly based on several different events that are interconnected about different Bigfoot's encounters. Huh. Similar to the movie Willow Creek, directed by Bob Goldcat Waith.
I like
Willow Creek. Willow Creek was awesome. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I really like that. I might have to.
But I've actually seen this Sasquatch one. Basically, what happens is these guys are in Canada. They crash a plane, and Bigfoot starts tearing them up because they crushed one of his people.
Oh.
And there's a biotech. It's got Lance Hendrickson in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in like 5,000 movies.
Oh, yeah.
No, when he dies, the whole movie industry shut down for like a year.
Right, right. Yeah, no, he's in a lot of stuff.
I just seen one that's like Exorcism at 30,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a funny fucking movie.
Yeah, that's good times. Really good times.
That's my list. What have you got? Anything, Marty?
You've actually hit some of mine.
Fine. Sorry.
But no, here's like one of my favorite movies of all time is Jaws. Came out in 75, the year I was born. Didn't see it till 80. Terrified me, but I've watched it multiple times since then. I love that movie. But that was the movie. Spielberg's Jaws was actually based off of Peter Benchley's book entitled Jaws, which was then actually inspired by the 1916 shark attacks that were occurring up in New Jersey. Some of these were actually inland, like many miles.
Freshwater.
Up through freshwater rivers. They never conclusively found what shark was doing this, or even if it was just one shark. Because there were four people ended up dead. One was critically wounded. You had multiple people that went out on the ocean and picked up sharks and went, here's the one that killed them. But nobody really knows. They're still not even sure exactly what shark it was.
There's a conjecture that there's a possibility that it was a bull shark.
Here's where the issue comes. The one going upstream into freshwater is more than likely a bull shark. Tiger sharks are also able to do that, but typically not up in the Northeast. They are a little more tropical. Some of the bite attacks are actually indicative of great white bites. Oh, and some of them are more bull shark, which has led to a lot of people believing there was more than one shark that was doing attacks.
Or better yet, it was a hybrid between a great white and a bull shark.
It'd be like Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
But no, there are a lot of factors that actually probably led to this. At this point, we're going into World War One. There's polio is blowing up all over the country. It was a super hot summer, which leads a lot more people to going to a beach, which even now we know does tend to see a rise in shark bites because there's simply more people there.
And sharks don't give a fuck.
No. I mean, most of them are not actively hunting people. Tigers will, because they are on the list of known man-eaters that will actively hunt humans. One of the crazier theories of what these sharks were was they had actually been following German U-boats because, well, these sharks had learned that when this boat was around, food ended up in the water because those U-boats were just attacking every ship that was in those lanes. And the idea that these sharks had actually followed tankers across the ocean to get over here and just happen to find a bunch of food in the water. I think it's a little far-fetched. But there was a lot of cool things with this. Honestly, and I did not know this, but prior to these attacks, a lot of the prevailing fish scientists, ichthyologists, had a belief that sharks were not harmful at all. They would not bite people. There's no record of them biting or attacking people. After this occurred, they had to redo all of their theories. Unfortunately, for many years after, it went the direct extreme opposite direction, where they're like, all these fish are fucking killers. They're going to kill everybody. Until we are where we are now, we're like, yeah, there's a few that will hunt you and intentionally hunt you, but most of them are not trying to eat you. It's just an accidental. But yeah, no, they were inspired by real attacks up in that same area, which brought on that story. Another interesting little one I found is there was once a Mexican priest named Sergio Gutierrez Benitez, who actually wrestled under the name, Fray Tormenta. And what he did was he would actually use his winnings to buy food and stuff for these orphans.
I think you're saying Nacho Libre.
That is what inspired Nacho Libre, really? Is the story of this actual priest who did that. And they turned into like a comedy with Jack Black as this former orphan who's now trying to save orphan kids. But yeah, it was actually based off of an actual priest who did wrestle and took his money that he earned wrestling to buy stuff for orphans. I was like, I never would have guessed that Nacho Libre was inspired by a real event, which...
No.
Good for them, man. It's good for you. Yeah,
I would never thought that in a million years.
No, I didn't either. I was flipping around through stuff. I was like, what? Why is there Nacho Libre? Oh, God. That's a real thing. No, then you have, The Exorcist. William Peter Blatty. I was actually based loosely off of, I believe it was 1948.
Yeah, right around there.
A kid who was supposedly possessed.
A boy, that's what he's, it was a boy, yeah, was not a, boy. A girl. Yeah.
Who was possessed by devils and
demons.
And then they went through all these things to finally get him cleansed of this. And he ended up taking that inspiration and turning it into The Exorcist. Now, the interesting thing about... For years, they did not release the boy's name, but eventually he did. But after all this went down, he actually led a pretty normal life. He actually started working with NASA. He worked on the Apollo missions, created a device which, you know, helped them do guidance and everything. And actually, all of his experiences with being possessed... he himself doesn't believe he was ever possessed and actually right up until his death, led him with an, actually a loathing of religion because of it.
Jesus.
Which, I mean, I guess I can understand if you went through all of that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not possessed, man. I'm just a kid. But yeah, I guess some of his friends, even after he had died, said that, yeah, typically on Halloween, he would not be at home in case people found out who he was. They didn't want him coming over to his house messing with him, so he would just not be there. But yeah, no, he went on to like a super successful science career working with NASA. Yeah, I was like, what? I had not heard that part of that before.
That explains a little bit about NASA.
and all their weird things they've got. But yeah, no, I was like, oh, that is interesting. Because I'd heard about him being an inspiration for Reagan and you know, those characters. But I had not heard his adulthood. Well, I think that was because for many years they did keep his name quiet because they didn't want that kind of media exposure on him. But yeah, to find out he went on to be like, yeah, I went ahead and grew up and helped the Apollo missions happen and created this thing for NASA and did all this crazy shit. Okay, fair enough.
So you're saying that we should get possessed so we can have successful careers.
So I can go back and have a successful career.
I think we can do that.
Yeah, right.
I got a Ouija board. Maybe we'll get that and we'll get that rock and roll and be done with it.
I'll get my time machine so I can go back and really, really kick it off, right?
Yeah. But I know it's like, too, when we were doing this research, there's a lot of movies that, like, usually 90% of the movies that are actually inspired or based on are always about, like, The Haunting in Connecticut.
Yes, those are ones I want to get into, too. They did Hollywood movies of Haunting in Connecticut and Haunting in Georgia.
Yep.
Now, the series of Haunting was started by a couple of two-hour specials, and the first one being A Haunting in Connecticut.
Yep.
Where they went down the story of this haunting. It was basically an old mausoleum that had been turned over.
It was a funeral home, I thought.
Yeah.
Funeral home.
Crazy fucking story. I own the documentary version of it.
Yep.
I think we actually have the regular one too. But yeah, so I was really psyched for this. But yeah, they started with these two specials. And they were really popular, so they turned it into a weekly, hourly show of a haunting and different stories. But the first one is Connecticut, and then they did a Georgia one. They put out the Haunting in Connecticut movie. I'm like, oh, cool. I love that ghost story. It's a fucking crazy, creepy story. Holy Jesus. The Hollywood movie they made of it was just an abomination.
I had never seen what you're talking about. I just saw the Hollywood movie, and I thought it was good.
I hated it. There's nothing about it was even remotely close to.
So you're saying the kid didn't have cancer?
That's the only thing they have. The kid did have cancer. They moved up to this place because it was closer to his treatment. But when they start going into like, oh, there was this spiritual leader who was in the house and having seances, and oh, there's bodies in the walls of the house. I was like, what the fuck is this? This had nothing to do with that original story at all. My kids liked it. Because they hadn't seen the documentary. This is fucking hideous.
I didn't see the documentary either, so I liked it.
Hideous. Ah, I hated it so much. I was just like...
So you're saying they stole stuff from Poltergeist with the guy with the weird hat.
Right, pretty much. I was just like, what is all of this they're talking about? Oh, 1920s spiritualist leader used this kid, and he was channeling spirits, and these spirits are here, and oh, he's a necromancer, and there's bodies in the walls of the house. And I was like, I'm fucking out. I am done with this. But I actually ended up finding the documentary version. One of the video stores was going out. They had it. I was like, oh shit, I need to get this. My kids are like, oh, that's from that movie. I'm like, fuck you. This is what more of what was taken from that actually happened. But yeah, no, my kids liked the movie.
Now I'm gonna have to find that documentary.
I've got
to
watch it. I'll have to dig it out. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's fucked up. It was a terrifying story. I remember watching the first time. I was just like, holy Jesus, why would you stay in that place? But yeah, almost nothing other than the family itself being in a house is similar to what actually happened from their stories to what was in that movie. So I was just like, and then I never even watched the Haunting in Georgia Hollywood version. I was just like, you're just going to do the same thing. I can't do this. I'll just go watch the documentary.
What about The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
I like that movie, but I don't love that movie.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's good. But by the end of it, I was just kind of like, there's a whole lot better Exorcism movies than this. The Last Exorcism, one of the better Exorcism movies. I don't know if any of that's particularly based. I think they said it was partially based on Drew's story. That movie I actually really liked. But yeah, Emily Rose is good. It's not a horrible film. It's worth watching. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. But there again, it's... They didn't do too crazy on some of the stories of what happened to the Hollywood movie that they made. They kept a lot. They exaggerated some of it from what happened in the actual possession story of hers. Yep. But all in all, I think if you're going to do a version of it, you know you're going to aggrandize and make better some of the stuff. And it was done good enough.
I wonder if Hollywood ever do a movie. It's like something happens, like this is an actual event. It's creepy as hell. Let's do it word for word like what happened.
Right.
I don't think you could ever do that.
A lot of times, I think.
Because sometimes it's not... when you read about actual events and you know they're made in the movie, it's like, what actually happened would have made a better movie? Get some no-name stars.
Yep.
Give them a stepping stone instead of getting like you got Zach Bagans or whatever's in there, Zach Efron. Get him out of there. Put some no-name first-timer and like, this movie would probably be 10 times better. Right. And it could cut down the budget, save your money, and make it closer to what it actually is.
Right. But the execs don't want that. They want over-the-top, crazy, wild. And the downside anymore, and I will put a lot of the blame on that, I will say on Blair Witch.
People still believe that's real.
It's really hard to put out a movie and say that this is what really happened. When you've had some really good, quote, real footage movies. So it's really hard. Even sometimes when you're going down, we've run into this going into documentaries.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, if this is listed as documentary, but
yeah, is it really documentary? Yeah.
Like if it is, it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems too incredible to be a full documentary and not, you know, a faux documentary.
Yeah.
And some of those are fantastic. I will say they're fantastic.
I'm pretty sure the one where they caught Bigfoot in a cage is a real one. And he escaped and he was singing. I think that's a real one.
Yeah. I think that was Mountain Monsters, but that was...
No. You ever see that one? It's hard to come out. It's a mockumentary that came out on Discovery. That's really, really good. Till they catch Bigfoot and put him in a cage with like half-inch bars.
Yeah.
Then he's just sitting in the cage and all of a sudden... Is he singing?
Really?
And the Bigfoot singing. I'm like, yeah, this was good to this point.
Well, like I said, that's where we, like me and one of my kids knew, like Mountain Monsters was complete bullshit. Because they'd caught a chupacabra. And, of course, everybody leaves because the Sasquatch are making noise. Everybody conveniently, including all the cameras, leave where the cage is. And the chupacabra was released because their theory is that those are Sasquatch's hunting dogs, and me and my kid are just like sitting here just in fucking amazement of like, God, does anybody think this is real? Like, holy fuck, are there people that think this is actually happening? Why would you not leave the camera on it? If you have a chupacabra, why would you put it in a big metal cage that only has like little 3/4 inch holes that you can't see anything through? Why would you put it in there? You have proof this is existing.
Yeah.
Why don't you have it on camera? No, the Sasquatch breaks it out and got you to go over there so they can get their favorite hunting dog.
They got a heat signature of it running away with it besides it. Do you remember that scene?
It's just
the very last scene you see, too, figure lumbering and look like a dog next to him.
Oh, you're the kid. He's just doing that silent laugh because he's laughing so hard he can't fucking even make noise. He's just like, fucking serious? I'm like, unfortunately, some people probably think this is real and not just entertainment purposes. Holy God. But yeah, that's what that reminded me of. The things like that. It's like, but yeah, there are some really good. The Blue Hour.
Yeah,
another one that's done as a documentary.
Yeah, that's
and it looks and feels like an actual documentary. But it's not. But it's a wild movie. But yeah, you're just like, is this actually a documentary?
Or like Magic, we know Magic yep. is another good one. All these movies we're talking about, like these last two, like VR and Magic, you can find them on Tubi.
Yep.
And they're really low budget, but done extremely well. Yep. And you're like, is this a documentary? There's one I can't think of right now that had me. I had a text from Marty. I'm like, is this fucking real?
Yeah, I don't remember.
And he's like, no, it's a mockumentary. I'm like, thank God. I don't remember what
that was. Yeah, because it was really good.
It's about this podcasting group that go out, videotape this guy. He says he's been abducted by aliens at this farm. And it's really, really good. I'm like, it's so hard to tell if it's real or not because they have the stupid shit that you would do during a documentary if you're like low budget.
Yep. Yeah, no, but, really good.
But I'm like, I had a text Marty, like, is this a real documentary or fake? Like, fake. I'm like, thank you.
Are we being bamboozled? Because holy shit. But yeah, no, it's pretty interesting. But yeah, no, the whole inspired thing, some of them are more blatant. Mm-hmm. Like the Elm Street thing is just kind of an oddball, weird idea of something he had seen that just morphs into something else. Which I find really interesting, kind of where they get those kind of inspirations.
Yeah.
And then some of them are just straight up like, nah, this is based off here. The Annabelle movies are all loosely based off of stories of the Annabelle doll, things like that. And again, I like Blumhouse stuff. But yeah, some of them are a little meh.
So I think Annabelle would have been a lot more creepier if they would use the Raggedy Dan and all, like it was supposed to be.
Right.
That the Warrens found.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually more unnerving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't play well on TV if a Raggedy Ann doll is chasing you around the house as opposed to the creepy animal.
I wanted to see it because I was doing research for a future episode. I want to see him do an actual movie on the polar bear sightings in London.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Oh. Hmm.
There's been polar bear sightings in London.
That? Well, it wouldn't be impossible, just
like in the metro system.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. There's research we're doing for, like, we're going to do a cryptid one later about really weird things. So that popped up on the radar.
That is interesting. And then they laugh at us for our lizard people under LA.
Okay, speaking of, I just seen this video. You got, I don't know, have you seen that new New York subway video with the rat?
I don't think so.
Oh, hopefully it's CGI, because if it's not, we're all fucked. Wilbur's going to come and eat our brains.
Really?
Because what it does, this guy is videotaping, and you see this rat, a big rat. It's like probably big as a cat, which is normal. They're big rats. It's
big sewer.
All of a sudden, it's kind of limping out. It's kind of laying outside. You can tell it's beat up. All of a sudden, it gets jammed back, pulled back underneath by something really fast. Then he's videotaping, and this huge rat head just comes out. And I'm like, I hope that's CGI and fake as hell, because that other thing was like big as an alligator.
Ugh.
I'm like, but I can see that in New York because
I don't like that.
See, I want to say Chud was actually based on actual events.
There are a few movies where I have a feeling
alligator is actually that was based on actual events.
Yeah, well, there are still stories.
But
that's
like a 2-foot long gator. But
yeah, there are still stories of alligators in that. Chilling out in warm sewers.
See, but Chud, I think it was actually, they're just trying to tell us it wasn't.
Right. They're just like, we'll make a sequel that's just all straight funny so that they don't really catch on.
Yeah, because that traumatized a lot of people when Chud came out.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Because I remember my uncle, he was talking about, I just saw this movie, it messed with me. And I'm like, what's it about? It's called Chud, and it's about these people in New York City come out and eat people, grab them and eat them. And I'm like, yeah, that's growth, uncle, that's growth.
I love Chud.
This is the same man who's love the man. He's no longer with us, but I love the man. But he's like, we had the old rabbit ears on the TV during the winter, and the station said, please stand by. And my dumbass, like, what's it's like right at Christmas time. We're celebrating Christmas. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you got to stand by the TV for it to work.
Okay.
Here I am, standing by the TV, just standing there, and they're all laughing. I'm like, I do it as a TV, Thaz.
It's still not working.
And they're all laughing at me.
They lied to me. Yeah. Your first lesson on television lying to you.
Yeah. It started off with, stand by me. Stand by, please. And that's what he said.
Yep. Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God.
Because that was back in the old days where they had to take the videotapes out and transfer them over so you had pauses sometimes, dead air.
Oh, yep. Oh, God dang. That's just wild.
So here's a question for you. If you had one event, what movie would you like to be based on actual events?
Ooh. like a movie, an actual event I want turned into a movie, or either a one. Movie that I want
to be actual. Either one, your choice.
Ooh.
Throwing questions at you.
I know. I would honestly love 2010 to have really occurred.
Yeah. I could agree with that.
Or it's like, oh yeah, you can explore the world, but Iowa's ours. Stay the hell away from
Iowa.
Iowa.
I thought you said Iowa. Like nobody wants Iowa anyway.
Yeah. It's like, oh hey, yeah. No, the Jupiter storm is now just a bunch of monoliths, and it's taking over the entire thing and making a new sun. Yeah, you can have everything, but this one is ours. It's like, okay, well, that's cool. We got a new sun. Yep. Which would be really cool. God bless you, Arthur C. Clarke. What a cool story. A real event that I would want to see turn into a movie. Oh, I don't know. At this point, almost everything's just been poured into a movie.
Yeah.
No matter what you think of, if it hasn't, it's about to be.
Pretty much.
You know? The End of the Dinosaurs. Yeah, we've done it 30 times. Okay. Do you want cartoon versions? Here's 10. Shit. All right. Well, fair enough.
No. There's just like so many more events we could do, but that's pretty much some of the more odd duck ones that we covered tonight. So
yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of big ones. Amityville is one that's you know, pretty well.
I don't believe it was actually happened,
but even like Annabelle, all inspired. They're bigger movies. I would even say there a lot of stuff Close Encounters.
I was just gonna say Close Encounters are the fourth kind.
It is there's a lot of things that were taken right from these planes. Now the planes coming back part hasn't happened that we know of, but you know, it's all tied in with things that did occur. They are based off of, well, even the ice cream comment that the little kid makes when the ships are coming around was taken from eyewitnesses saying that they look like scoops of ice cream that were flying through the sky.
Yep.
So I would almost say that one is at least to some extent inspired by real events.
Yeah.
Maybe not the full landing and meeting at
Devil's Tower. Be cool if it was.
Although I remember on Art Bell's show back in early 2000, there was a dude who was saying that was coming and that was actually going to be happening in the next couple of years. And we are 20 years after when this was supposed to occur. And I still haven't heard anything about it.
It just happened. We weren't told.
Yeah, right. No, nobody knew. We closed Devil's Tower.
Maybe it happened when
it's being fixed.
It happened when COVID happened.
Oh. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened when COVID happened that we don't know about.
But. See, that's why they released the Tic Tac video during COVID.
Right. Yeah, right. At the beginning of it.
Yeah, then they came to Devil's Tower during COVID because no one could go to national parks.
Because I remember we were in Seattle when this whole thing was blowing up.
Yeah, I said, I'm saying you're the one that brought your patients.
No, I was wishing. I was trying because I wanted out of work for a couple weeks. Because while we were up there, that whole thing kind of blew up while we were in Seattle on vacation. And I was like, nobody's really getting wound up about these UFO videos? No, because they're all talking about people being sick. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Although it did make Seattle really nice to get around because
no one there.
There was just not a whole lot of traffic downtown. It was really kind of nice to go places.
Yeah.
Most places were still open. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation little walkthrough place that was shut down before we even got there. They were like, no, we're closed because of this sickness. Didn't this just happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
We could walk by it and look in, but you couldn't actually go through. I was like, oh, well, that's fair. No. Space Needle, they're like, we don't give a shit going up. Like, okay. You're paying us, right? Okay.
Yeah, they go up higher, get away from all the viruses.
Right, yeah.
The higher's thinner up there. Air's thinner up there.
The only thing I regret on that trip, because nobody else would go with me, right next to the Space Needle, they have the Pop Culture Hall of Fame museum thing there now. It's relatively new, but they have like a big theater in there, and they don't play movies every night, but like they'll have a special movie come in once a month or whatever. Going to be up there was the extended cut of Dune on a theater. I was like, oh, I want to come up and watch that. But nobody else is going to sit for 4.5 hours to sit through
I
1984 Dune with me. So I'm like, no, it's cool. I didn't want to go see it anymore.
See, but we're making it up for him. We're going to do the Area 51 tour in Vegas.
Right.
That's 10 hours.
Yeah, but is Dune 84 extended on a theater screen, which I've never seen it on a theater screen.
We can see if you can get probed by some aliens while we're out there.
I'll probably get probed by some. As on a side note, what hotel were we originally going to be staying in?
Originally, we were going to stay at the Flamingo.
Okay. Did you see what happened recently here in the Venetian?
Legionnaires?
No. There was a guy who was staying in the Venetian. He woke up like late at night with just a burning in his junk. And he's like, what the fuck? And it just hurt. It fucking hurt. And he's like, what is going on? He gets up out of his bed, goes into the bathroom to see there's a scorpion hanging on his underwear. They're guessing it somehow got into the hotel and was actually under his covers. When his sleep, he felt something, and you know, like you'll do, you kind of swatted at it.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, fuck that. And just started stinging him in the junk.
Jesus.
He's actually now taking the Venetian to court.
I would say that
this shouldn't have been in here. You guys should have.
I've been to Vegas many times.
I've never seen one.
I've never seen one. Except for I've seen one, and I'm going to buy one next time with like in a big epoxy.
Oh, thing. Yeah. I've seen
one. But I've never seen one live.
Yeah, not loose running around. Because most of the bigger hotels have a pretty high budget for exterminating these.
But maybe guy pissed somebody off. Maybe one of the.
and it's one of those like, well, when you were out, did it get onto your stuff? You know, you don't know. But yeah, I was like, what a rude awakening to be stung like 3-4 times in the junk by this scorpion. and the picture, it's a pretty good sized scorpion, which means
is it black or brown?
It was kind of like that brownish.
Yeah, they only get about that big.
Yeah,
I was in the Mojave Desert, like, seen them all the time.
I was just like, Oh, no. God, is that where we were originally going to be staying?
No.
Well, it's a good thing we're not staying there anymore.
We're staying at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, I was just like, well, I know we moved. It's probably a good thing to move because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that at all.
Well, you don't want something that's stinging in your junk?
No, I really don't.
And not even get paid for
even,
it?
Even being out there in the hotels, I still shake my shoes out just because you are fucking in the desert. Let's be real. And those fucking things get into everything. But it's just like,
that's why you wear flip flops, Marty.
Oh no. That would just be a horrible day to wake up like 3 in the morning. How would
you just think if he went there in a guy strip by himself and he had to go home to the wife and explain, this is why my junk is swollen.
Right.
And she'd be sailing up red flags. Bullshit.
Oh yeah. No, she's not going to buy any of
just
that.
Just think of that. How would you explain that? Yes. I got stung in my junk by a scorpion.
Right.
Uh-huh. You get some pills for that to get tested?
I'm sure you did. That was the scorpion's name.
How would you explain that to your wife?
Well, being me, she would probably be like, yeah, well, that probably checks out. goddamn. Yeah, I saw that. I was just like, oh, no. Well, I don't need to hear that before I go to the desert, for Christ's sake.
Well, we are going to the high desert, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, like I said, all the time I've been out there, I've never seen any of the nastier animals.
Besides the homeless people, that's it.
Yeah, they're some of them are 7 in the morning scary.
Yeah, 6 in the morning scary. The meth heads. Because we can't sleep.
Yeah, the meth heads.
All right.
Yelling at bus stops at 6 in the morning.
Just checking out cigarette butts. Have you got anything for these wonderful folks, Marty?
No, I don't think so. Happy late birthday to my daughter. Her birthday is actually yesterday from where we're recording.
Yep.
But, yeah.
What, she like 22 now?
She's old. She's old.
Tell her to get a jobby job.
She's old.
All right, folks. Have a good night. And if you're in Vegas, we're going to be there 1st through the 5th. Have a good night, folks. Bye.